Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Brianna, and
Jessica.
We both attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is evolution and intelligent design. What belongs in the classroom? In 1859, Charles Darwin published The Origin of the Species, based on his observations of variations of plants and animals in numerous distant locations. He noted that species seemed to adapt to specific environments to obtain food or escape predators. He called this gradual adaptation natural selection or survival of the fittest. Darwin further stated that habitual instincts are inherited within each species, like ants knowing how to build their nests with no previous experience, and that these instincts may change over time, leading to all organic beings multiplying, varying, and letting the strongest live and the weakest die. If species endlessly adapt to their changing surroundings, a theory emerges that all species have common descendants. All life forms have evolved from prior species. Darwin's theories were widely accepted and useful to many, scientifically true. On the other hand, based on interpretations of the Bible, creationism, or intelligent design, says that God created the earth in 6 days. Intelligent design argues some life forms are too complex to have evolved according to Charles Darwin's theory and needed an unnamed higher intelligence to develop as they have. In 1925, the state of Tennessee charged schoolteacher John Scopes of violating the state's Butler Act, which outlawed the teaching of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution in Tennessee schools. The Scopes trial pitted two strong attorneys against each other, Clarence Darrow, on the side of the science of evolution, and William Jennings Bryan, a three-time presidential candidate and leader of the fundamentalist crusade to banish Darwin's theory from American classrooms. In Kansas in 2005, a school board approved new standards that cast doubt on the theory of evolution by stating that science cannot be limited to natural explanations of phenomena. 2 months later, President Bush endorsed the teaching of intelligent design alongside evolution. Last week, Europe's main human rights body voted to urge schools across the continent to firmly oppose the teaching of creationist and intelligent design views in their science classes. The text said European schools should resist presentation of creationist ideas in any discipline other than religion. As it stands now, science classes in public schools in California teach evolution, but not intelligent design. This subject brings up the questions, who gets to choose what is taught in public schools? Does science always take precedent? The history of science shows many earlier discoveries and conclusions were wrong. Since we are talking about religious beliefs, why isn't comparative religion a subject in public schools? Wouldn't an understanding of different belief systems lead to more global acceptance of other cultures? And are there other beliefs that are taught in the public schools without question, like manifest destiny and history, capitalism, democracy, and equality? Who gets to choose what is taught in our schools? We hope that you are interested in these subjects and will want to participate. We're at the Willard Studio and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion at about 20 minutes. Let's begin by talking about evolution and intelligent design. Jessica, when were you first taught about evolution? And was it presented as a fact or a theory?
I really remember being taught evolution in my biology class my sophomore year. And it was definitely taught as fact. We were presented the evolution theory as fact, and we were not presented with other theories that would present a different idea from evolution.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being taught biology in my sophomore year, but I guess the year I remember the most was my eighth grade year, in science class, our teacher was presenting us with the Big Bang Theory, and he was somewhat presenting it as fact and somewhat just saying it was a theory, but after he was finished presenting the Big Bang Theory, he walked up to the board and said, "Well, there's this one other theory," with this kind of sarcastic look on his face, and wrote God on the board, and just gave us a look like, pretty much, it's ridiculous. And I always remember it, you know, not that I'm saying people have to believe in creationism or have to believe in evolution. I think they both have a strong basis. But just the fact that it was so derogatory to any person in the classroom that did believe that, he was almost saying, "You're stupid, this is ridiculous, this is what really happened."
Yeah, I think that's a really big problem in our schools. Do you think that creationism and evolution can coexist?
I think they can. I think it's just like any other system where we have two different opposing views. And it doesn't mean that you have to believe both. It just means that you need to respect the fact that other people believe this system, or that you can actually believe both systems. The idea that somebody, a higher power, a higher being, created the evolution process or started the evolution process is also a belief. So it's not definitely black and white.
I completely agree. And I think that some people may have the belief that a higher intelligence did create our Earth and then maybe started the evolutionary process.
Right. I guess what I've seen over the years, like right now I'm taking a class, a Religions of the World class at Mendocino College. And part of what I think, even if you're not telling students they need to believe in a Christian-based faith or you need to believe in this, but laying out multiple ideas on a table and saying, you choose, especially once kids reach the high school level, because they need to start being introduced to things that really happen in the world. So, I mean, I see huge problems that we have because we are such a high, a large Christian society for the most part. We don't understand Muslim beliefs or Buddhist beliefs. So we send people out into the world and they end up highly offending people because they don't understand each other.
I agree completely. And also, I think that religion has begun to decline somewhat in our country. And I think that morals have also declined quite a bit.
Right. I think you have to see some sort of a pattern with the time that people are spending with their families and the standards and ideals that people believed in are drastically declining, while the number of people who are religious are also declining or religious to state. So, like, where a family used to go to church on a Sunday morning and then go to lunch and then spend the day together, now they're still running around and, you know, parents are spending less time with their kids. Kids are spending less time with their relatives. And although it's not to say that every religious person is completely moral and does all the right things, that's absolutely not true. But it's saying that, is there a similarity? It seems that there is, if you look at the long trend. The other thing I was thinking about with science in general is that nothing can really be proven 100%. Even evolution, there's huge gaps. There's huge, you know, blank spots where we have nothing to fill it with. I think evolution has a strong basis. I think it could be true. Am I ready to say it's 100% true? No. Do I think most scientists even are ready to say it's 100% true? I don't even think that, necessarily.
I agree, and you can compare science to religion in that neither one of them can be proven, and they are just belief systems.
Right, and I guess I'm just trying to stress the fact that I don't think we shouldn't be teaching evolution in our schools. I think there's strong basis for it. I think it's really important. But I think when we teach our kids one thing and we don't show them, you know, this is an option, this is an option, this other thing is an option, we're really disadvantaging them when we send them out into the world, because, like, when our kids right now, we're telling them democracy is the only way, it's the only way that works, it's the best way, on, and we're sending them out into the world, and maybe if they stay in America for the rest of their lives, that's what they're going to see, but go to other countries, and they're not necessarily going to see that. There's other alternatives. There's other ways to think, and so we're just really limiting our kids into this funnel of exactly what we think, and this is American ideas, and this is what's right, and it's almost a little bit kind of 1984-ish of just brainwashing people into thinking a certain way.
And when you say 1984, you're referring to the book, 1984.
Yeah, it's George Orwell's book.
I recently read an article which said that there was a case in Pennsylvania where the Supreme Court ruled that teachers couldn't even refer to intelligent design and say that there was a possibility that evolution wasn't true and that there was this other theory. And they couldn't put a sticker on the textbook stating that there was a theory besides evolution. Is that a bit extreme?
I think it's very extreme. I think, you know, the problem I have with it is that there's tons of scientific theories out there that people believed and they were true and everyone went along with them. And then one day they woke up and went, oh, no, that's not really correct. Like, one I remember distinctly is the Y chromosome defense, and pretty much what it said was that people who were, or a certain population of society that were very highly aggressive, murderers, rapists, the reason that they were this way is because they had a second copy of their Y chromosome, and it was that second copy of the Y chromosome that was making them aggressive, and that's why they murdered people, and that's... And then they came back about 15 years ago and said that theory is completely false, has no basis. And people had believed it. People had used it for defense. People had pled an insanity defense based on that when it wasn't even true.
And there are so many scientific theories that have fallen apart. For example, when people used to believe that the world was flat until a scientist came out and said that the world was round and defended their theory, and it took years and years to change people's minds. People believed wrongly that the world was flat. So how many years is it going to be until what we're being taught as fact now is going to be disproven?
Yeah, I guess it goes back to, I don't think anything should be taught as fact, especially if we can't concretely prove it. And I think I think a lot of the time people feel like they have to have an answer. They have to believe one way or another. They have to be sure. And truly collegiate educated people need to realize that everything that they believe may be wrong. From, you know, everything you've been taught from a child. And if you can't believe that and be willing to any day look at your ideas and look at your thoughts and your beliefs and say, maybe this isn't true, then we're never going to advance as a society. It's just like in a lot of religious faiths, they tell the people of the faith that if anyone tries to talk to them about any other religion, don't listen. Don't listen, close your ears, la 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 la. And in all actuality, if we continue to do that, our society is going to fail. Especially considering right now, the two largest religions of the world are Christianity in first and Islam in second, and they don't like each other. And so right now, between those two religions, they're over half of the world's population. And if we don't find some way to learn how to get along and to learn how to coexist peacefully, we have the possibility of completely annihilating the rest of the world.
I agree that there are extremes where people won't even attempt to listen or understand other people's beliefs. They only want to believe what they already believe, and they don't want there to be a possibility that they could be wrong or that somebody believes something opposite of them.
Right. Like, in my comparative religions class, it's helped me to realize, you know, we've just finished, we haven't covered Islam yet, but we've just finished all the religions in Asia, Japan, all that area, and then we've also covered Native American religions, and it tends to be that there's two main different types of religion. There's religions like Christianity and Islam, which are extreme monotheists, which mean that they believe in one and only one God. There's other religions that kind of tend to lean more towards spirits and nature and saying that earth or trees, anything that is on earth, is naturally holy and that we should be respecting it. And so, like, if you go back to looking at during World War II, when we dropped the atomic bombs on Japan, part of the reason that we dropped the second bomb was because I think there was a lack of understanding in what we were saying and what the Japanese were hearing, or vice versa. Like, when we say you need to unconditionally surrender, because the Japanese believe that their emperor is pretty much a descendant and he is holy, if you're saying you need to surrender your emperor or your king and you can't have that, you're pretty much asking them to give up their religion. And to another country where it's such a huge part of their lives, it's absurd to ask them to do that. So if we don't learn how to understand each other, not believe, it doesn't mean you have to be a Buddhist, or it doesn't mean you have to decide you want to study Islam, but it means that you have to at least open your ears and listen and try to understand why other people feel a certain way.
So when it seems so important for everyone to understand people's beliefs in the world, why do you think that religion in general is not being taught in schools?
I think the trend right now is to be anti-establishment. Whether people truly want to be religious or want to be non-religious or they just want to follow the trend, people tend to be pushing away anything that was once accepted as moral or a value. It's the same reason that, you know, the whole goth has come up and become so popular, is people are constantly trying to push the limit on what they believe in being original or different or ordinary or out of the ordinary.
And I also believe that people are just too worried about not offending anyone to where they're restricting anything that will offend even one person.
Right, and I think it has a very chilling effect, especially on our youth, is saying, you know, it's just like with obscenity, of course it needs to be limited to a certain extent, but how much do we shelter our children from, and then the day they turn 18, we send them out into the world, and they're overcome by all these things that they don't understand, they've never seen. They're going to see it eventually, so let's present it in a way that is going to be useful, and help them be useful to the rest of the world, instead of sheltering them from it and then sending them out into the world where they have the possibility of doing a lot of damage simply because they don't understand each other.
That also brings up a good point of how children are exposed to so much violence, and yet they can't even be taught about different religions in their schools.
Right, especially because many of the, I mean, there's, if you teach just the main religions, many of those religions are very peaceful. And not that they have to believe it, but they're not saying take over the world. They're not saying that. They are peaceful teachings. And so I think it could be useful, and especially just showing our kids, this is what's out there. You make your own decisions. We're not going to tell you what to think. You decide what you think is right and what you want to believe.
Who do you think gets to choose or should choose what is taught in our schools? The society, legislature, local or state establishments?
You know, I think it needs to be holistic. It needs to be a multitude of people. Part of the problem I have with our public education system is that there are no religious options other than, like, charter schools that can choose to be a religious charter school and spur off of a school. But for the most part, you know, people are paying, their tax dollars are going to support public schools. Well, what if they want to send their child to a religious school? Then they're paying taxes to support the public schools, and they're paying for their kids schooling at a religious school. And, you know, when the Constitution was created, it said we're not going to force a religion upon anyone, but we're not going to deny a religion from anyone either. And it seems that that's what we are doing now, is we're saying you have to believe in this religion, and this religion is called science right now. We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about evolution and intelligent design. Is evolution a proven fact or a theory? Should all belief systems be removed from the school curriculum? Would teaching a class comparing world religions be a step towards global understanding? Were you taught anything in school that was presented as a fact, but that you thought later wasn't true? Is science always right? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll receive a very confusing echo. The number again is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of the discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I have two quick comments. The first one being that you expressed the feeling that the major religions were of a peaceful nature, and I beg to differ. The major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, which is an offshoot of Judaism, are literal bloodbaths in the Bible. The vengeance, the jealousy, every human failing is there. And as I say, it was a bloodbath. Secondly, the scientists that did, they weren't scientists, they were for the most part back then pretty righteously ordinary people, that figured out the world was round. Those people, to a person, were in some cases burned at the stake by the dominant religion of the time, Christianity, or they were confined to their homes for the rest of their lives, not allowed to publish or interact with any other human being, and so on. And that was the prevailing religion. And I just thought that side of the story needed to come out a little bit. Thank you. I've enjoyed this very much.
Thank you, caller. I think another thing to consider is looking at what have people done with religion and what did religion originate as, because people have turned religion very violent. If you look at the religious crusades, burning people at the stake, definitely deciding people were witches. But is that, did the religion do that, or did people in their animalistic natures turn religion violent? Because I think it's very important to look, there are religions that want to, they specifically say spread your religion. But if you look at a religion like Jainism, they're completely based on peacefully coexisting with nature. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, I just called up to represent the scientific point of view, which I think has been getting shorted. Scientists make mistakes. They make one mistake after the next doing experiments, and we try not to make the same mistake twice. And the fact that one theory has been overthrown and later improved, you've neglected to notice that there's been convergence in the world view of how things are. Newton was not overthrown by Einstein. It was a refinement of his theory. So I would simply want to say science is an evidence-based belief system, and religion is a revelation and a scriptural-based belief system, and if we can leave it at that, then obviously the scriptural-based has no business in the science classroom. Give me some feedback on that comment.
Well, I think it's a good point that science is based on a different measure than religion, but would you be able to say that there's, you can 100% believe in evolution over creationism?
Well, let's put it this way. I would say it's about 99.99% in favor of about 0.01%. If you take the extreme views, you know, that God just made everything and that's that, and there aren't any new species, which there obviously are, and there aren't any extinctions. I mean, but I think the best solution is the person who said that this is how God is doing it.
Right.
The scientists can study how it's happening and without bringing God into it, and the God people can say God's doing it all. That's fine.
Right.
The way God works.
Do you believe that they can coexist together? How do you feel about the idea that God created, you know, one beginning element and then evolution took charge after that? Do you think they can coexist together?
Well, sure. I don't think that's where the argument is happening, though. There are people that just think that God's manipulating life all along the way.
Right.
And the scientists are just saying, well, we don't know, and we're not studying that question. We're studying something else. We're making measurements and correlating them and comparing them to the, you know, observations. It's just a different approach to knowledge. And you can't, the reason I don't think the two theories stand side by side in any way is that one of them's about science and one of them's about speculation or revelation or scripture. It's not based on you know, any evidence, so it should be taught in the philosophy class. This is a worldview. It's an important worldview held by many people, but, you know, it's not a science.
Do you think that religion should be taught in school, even if it's not taught as a scientific theory?
Well, if we're taught as a, you know, world culture course, yes. But I wouldn't want speakers coming in and ranting and raving about their point of view on it as the only true religion, or you got to be saved, or you got to go to Mecca, or whatever. But studying it as a cultural thing surely seems like a good idea. I think that's a good point. There are so many Muslims and so many Christians, if they're not going to blow each other up, they better learn to talk to each other.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, thanks for your great show. I always tune in and like to hear you talking about what the issue of the day is. Bye-bye.
Bye. I think it's a good point, though, to look at the different ways that we come upon the beliefs we find, whether it's science or religion, or you want to call science or religion. Because for many, we'll argue that a theory like Darwinism was just a racist theory that was created to justify the class system as to why it was okay to keep people in poverty, and it's because that's where they were supposed to be. Recently, one of the geneticists that discovered co-discovered the double helix configuration of our DNA made a comment stating that he believed that people in Africa could never surpass or amount to the level of intelligence that pretty much the white race could, because they had evolved in a different manner or were less evolved or involved in a different way. And many people called him a racist and said that pretty much that theory was just being used to try to explain, you know, why the white race was dominant or explain the problems of society. Caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Your show is a great show today. I want to add a little bit of my perspective. You know, a couple weeks before that announcement about Dr. Watson and his racist view about genetics, they had an announcement that Crick, the guy who he worked with to, you know, come up with the model for the DNA, admitted that he had been taking LSD on a regular basis, and that had helped him to understand the structure of the DNA. They didn't like to publicize that fact. Now, as far as our world and religion, there are other perspectives on how we got to be here as humans that are not included in the major religions. Although I would say Buddhism goes to the heart of how we got here as humans energetically. But when we get back to the creation story, there's a author that I really highly recommend to you and the other listeners. His name is Zachariah Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-I-N. He's got a series of books called The Earth Chronicles. In that series, he details his translations of the Sumerian tablets that are over 6,000 years old and are the precursors to the story that we are familiar with in the Old Testament Bible. And in those Sumerian tablets, it details quite clearly how extraterrestrial beings came to Earth, colonized the planet, were using it as a resource base, ran out of labor, so to speak, you know, people to do the work that was necessary for exploiting the resources, and decided to genetically modify the primates that were living on the planet to make them into worker slaves. And I happen to believe that that is really close to what happened and how we got to be here, that we are a hybrid species, that when they talk about the gods having created us, they, in essence, did create us through genetics. And in, over the last 20 years, we've seen this genetic kind of magic that was only science fiction 50 years ago. We've seen it come into being, and they're making transgenic beings of different species put together. They're growing specific kind of tissues out of stem cells so that, you know, we can virtually replace parts in our bodies and live forever. You know, all these kind of things that people speculated about in the past. But with this practical knowledge that we have now in those realms of genetics, we can see how extraterrestrials could have come here 500,000 years ago and changed the makeup of the existing species on the planet. So we have a situation where we have both evolution and creation going on simultaneously.
Right. Caller, do you believe that religion should be taught in our public schools?
What I believe is that education is a process that you learn how to do. Once you learn how to do that, you're on your own, and you can use anything to learn from. So all I'm, what I propose is that our school systems educate people and teach them how to learn, and then give them the broadest field of, you know, application for their research that could possibly be, not restrict anything. And the truth is that the schools, the universities, the churches all want to promote their perspective and, you know, restrict access to other perspectives that might challenge their, you know, point of view so that they can, you know, maintain their positions of power and authority and money and all those good kind of things.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, have a nice day.
You too.
Bye.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I wanted to just jump in and say you compared religion and science, which was entirely apocryphal. Religion is entirely self-referential, and the point is not to disprove the tenets of religion, but to rather reinforce faith. Whereas science is constantly trying to refine, change, and really come to a point of truth. I think it's interesting that excuse me, the debate kind of comes down to evolution. When, if we were to talk about, say, the Bible as it refers to geology, or astronomy, or any other aspect of science, has proven to be entirely false. So, religion shouldn't be taught in schools. There is a separation of church and state for good reason. Which religion do you want to teach? Buddhism? Hinduism?
What about showing, like, say, the main religions of the world? Not saying you need to believe this, but this is what people believe, so when they do this, this is why they're doing this.
Is that useful?
I
think that'd be great. I think we'd have a much more understanding world if there was an exposure to the world religions. But the argument or the debate as it's shaping up in this country has very little to do about tolerance or teaching religion as a broad perspective for cultural points of view. It has an awful lot to do about trying to essentially quash any real attachment to humans and their natural environment. If we can pull ourselves away from the natural environment or, you know, make that distinction between humans and the rest of the world, then it gives us license to do everything that we've done to the planet. Whereas if, you know, one accepts the fact that we're actually part of the whole system, then we have responsibility to actually take care of it.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Is there really a separation of church and state? I mean, if there are all of these restrictions on where religion can be, is that separating church and state?
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is a great show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
I wanted to address some of the older callers that have called in. I'm older. I think that you are right on with your right on with your idea that there's not really an argument. These two things, evolution and intelligent design, seem to reconcile with each other. And my theory is that there are beings, I guess, that are invested in the argument, if you will, and that our evolutionary process would naturally bring us to a cooperative sort of existence rather than a competitive sort of existence. And so there are these arguments that are put out there that aren't really arguments. I mean, clearly, it would take an intelligence of some sort. We'd have to define intelligence, I guess, that would set up a system that would evolve. And I wonder if you agree on that.
I think that's a really good point. Not that you have to find a common ground, because if you don't believe it, you really can't find it. But I think they definitely can coexist or cross over into that. Maybe they're both correct, or maybe they're both wrong. Who knows? And then not finding, I guess, like what I said before, do you feel that we should come to conclusions, or should we just continue to constantly question?
Well, I think that's what you're doing. You're bringing up a really good conversation, and that's what will bring us to the answers. I mean, religion is being talked about a lot today as being real dogma-oriented, and I think it is, because religion, like you said, Christians and the Muslims are fighting, and they're the two biggest religions. Religions are not really spirituality, in my opinion. We can have beliefs. And once the beliefs are, I mean, Jesus wasn't even a Christian, and then Christianity was sort of manipulated after he was gone to be sort of a way of controlling people, I guess, or the biggest club in the world. And I think that's why we have these arguments, because we have divergent views of ways of controlling the world, like, you know, like communism and democracy are an argument, you know, with each other. And so I think that religions inherently do that. Spirituality, however, doesn't. I mean, you can have a Socratic argument about spirituality and an open-minded discussion, if you will. And that's what I hear you doing. But unfortunately, a lot of the older callers that call in seem to have sort of an opinion, and that's all it is when we call in. It's our opinion. And they seem to, in my opinion, want their opinion to be taken as fact. And I always think that's a disservice to the conversation. And so what I'm saying is it ought to be an ongoing conversation, these things like abortion or things that look black and white, things that have extremists on either end fighting with each other and eventually leading to wars or bombings or what have you. And we have this weird view of competition now, as you hear a lot, healthy competition. Well, there may be healthy competition, I'm not sure, but all competition seems to lead to an unhealthy state, in my opinion. And I think that our next evolution will be to realize that we have to cooperate. And the idea of aliens, aliens having created us, you know, I don't know how we were created or why we were created, but I know that we definitely have some alien ideas, in that the ideas that we have will destroy the place that we live. And that makes it an alien idea, because nothing else on the planet would destroy everything. And we might do that. So we definitely need to have this discussion. And the subject that you've picked is a great forum for that. And I thank you for talking about it.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I really like the idea of what that last caller said, is not everything is black and white, and looking at it, looking at the gray, kind of tossing ideas back and forth, which is the main purpose of this show, is to say, I don't really know what I believe. I know this, and I know a fact on this side, but let's try and find a common ground, and then once we find it, question the common ground that we disagreed on. And I think that's how we can truly become educated and really understand our surrounding, is by realizing that nothing's really black or white.
And I think that is a big problem in our culture, because no one wants to listen. They don't want to try to understand what others are saying. They want to believe in their beliefs.
Once again, the number is 456-9991. It was a couple callers ago, but they said people tend to decide what they believe, and then they pick up the textbook and start reading to try and find the facts that will support, you know, what they've already chosen and what they've already believed. And I think it's really important that we focus on hypothesizing before, you know, and really finding evidence instead of just supporting what we believe. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I really enjoy your show. It's very inspiring. I would like to add that some people tend to see the world through an old fable. I guess it's an Indian fable about the blind people that went to see the elephant. I don't know if people really know what that is, but it was set up where different blind people were taken to see the same elephant, and they just touched it, and they came back and had a long discussion, and they were arguing wildly about what the elephant was, because they each touched a different part of it.
Right.
And that's something that sort of helped me try to understand the different actors in the world, or different philosophies and things. But if you see the different people's arguments as another one of the blind people touching the elephant, then sometimes you can sort of put the different pieces together and see more what the total elephant is.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Just one other thing. There are other people that see beings sort of existing at different levels of consciousness, and beings at the different levels see the world in different ways. And usually when the level of consciousness rises, they tend to see more of the world. And in that view, a lot of the problems caused in the world today are caused by the fundamentalists that are sort of looking at the world with a real limited view of the low consciousness.
Right.
Enjoy the program. Keep
Thank
it up.
You.
Bye.
I think that that's an interesting point about how different people perceive different things differently. And that is a fundamental thing in our culture, is that there's so many different points of view, and yet we need to understand everybody's to really understand our entire culture.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I turned on the radio. So far, I turned in a little late, but I've been enjoying the show, and I think a lot of the comments have been just absolutely wonderful, and I'm an older guy, and I kind of agree with the guy who called in and said that, you know, ultimately, we really don't have the answers, and we never will. I would say from one perspective, not understanding the total elephant by touching it, I don't think we'll ever understand the total elephant. And I think it's important for people to realize that and not say that their particular point of view is the only way of understanding what reality is. So I really haven't got much to add because the comments by other people have been great, and I just want to say that not all of us older people are set in our ways. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is it a possibility that maybe the fact that we're searching for answers is why we have religion? Are people... I know that is... in books, they state that that is one of the main reasons of religion, is one, that people don't know what their purpose is. Two, they don't know the answer. And three, they're afraid of dying, so they're trying to find purpose in their life while they find the answers.
I think that that's a really good point to bring up.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hi. Thanks for your show. I wanted to say that along with that class about comparative religions in high school, I'd like to see a class about the nature of belief. As I've been listening to the show, I've been thinking about how belief itself, as soon as you believe in something, you've got some territory you want to defend, usually, against someone else's beliefs. And I would just ask the question of you guys there, how important do you think it is to believe in a philosophy so you believe that it's true? Or is there a way to just experience what's going on, like you know you've got something in your hand that may be the elephant's tail, without speculating about the whole picture, but just experience moment to moment? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to make a few comments about it. I haven't heard the whole show, but we have a lot of information about, mainly through the fossil records and geological work that's been done, that there has been development of species through time. And I think that intelligent, and it's amazing how intelligent design is of life. But there's a certain political agenda that goes behind this type of movement to teach other things besides what we have learned through science in the schools. And that's the part about it that really bothers me. Whether it's Darwinism or not, Darwinism is kind of dated, actually, compared to what we've learned so far. But I don't think that we should discount what we have already progressed to learn.
In the past, it was that evolution could not be taught in schools, that religion was taught in schools, and there was a Supreme Court case called the Monkey Scopes Trial in which a teacher was brought to court because they taught evolution in schools. So if that was the past, should we go back to that instead of ignoring that?
Well, yeah, that's precisely my point, is that to legislate what's taught in contradiction to what we've actually learned through science is a backwards movement.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
I guess I have to wonder, does anything good truly come out of such type of censorship? You know, we said, it's like telling people they have to believe a certain way. And I don't know if anything good can come out of telling people what to believe. I think they need to find what they believe on their own, and especially in public education. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, me again. I guess I do have something to add. I didn't realize that the show was mostly about should evolution be taught in the schools or creationism. And I guess what I would have to say is a lot of the creationists say that evolution is just a theory and that creationism is another theory. However, I think even back in the days of Darwin, before Darwin proposed his theory, evolution was a fact. It was accepted by the scientific community as a fact. And his method of natural selection is the actual theory. But the process of evolution is, unless you think the devil went out there and buried all these fossil records, is a fact. And as such, should be taught in schools as scientific fact. Whereas religion, I guess people that are Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, have their own schools if they want to teach that stuff. As far as the public funds being used to teach somebody's view of creation of the world, I mean, like the one caller said, which one do you want to teach? So that's all I have to add. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. What about the idea of, you know, religious families that want to send their children to a religious school because society doesn't offer public education with religion? What about the idea that they're paying to send their child to religious school and they're paying for public schools that aren't offering what they feel their child should deserve? Does it seem like we're kind of trampling on people's religious rights overall? We're saying that if you want your child to go to school for free and receive an education, you have to believe in science. You have to see it as fact. When, you know, in essence, the Constitution says that we will not deny people their religion. Is that what we're doing?
I think that is what is happening. And I believe that maybe religion is being suppressed to a certain point.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I think that if people believe in democracy and in the Constitution, then why shouldn't they want to fund public education? And they can teach religion at home. If they want to ignore fact, then they can keep their kids at home.
Caller, what about all the holes in the theory of evolution? What about all the missing links?
Well, evolution is obviously an incomplete science, right? And so I don't think it could necessarily be taught as absolute fact. Lots of things in school are not absolute fact. So maybe they should be separated into subjects that are useful facts and beliefs.
What do you think about teaching comparative religion, teaching multiple religions of the world?
Well, I think it's good to make people aware that there are different religions, but you don't have to go into detail about it. The trouble is, though, that whoever is doing the teaching can be opinionated, and they do tend to do that. They tend to favor one religion over another, so it's difficult to be totally equal in teaching religion.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
I think it is a good point in conversation. We talked about how, you know, why was religion taken out of the schools and why was it not taught? And if you look back, whenever we end up censoring something, it's because somebody pushes their boundaries. It's like people say, everything I needed to know in life, I learned in kindergarten. And it's to keep your hands to yourself. You know, everyone doesn't need to believe in your religion. Everybody doesn't need to believe in a religion. And so it seems that, like, people have crossed the lines, and by crossing the lines and trying to force people into a religion, they've kind of ruined it for everybody because they've turned it into a bad thing rather than a good thing.
I completely agree. Recently, I was in one of my classes in school, and a couple of the kids in the class were discussing a Mormon missionary that they saw at Walmart in Ukiah, and they were making fun of the fact that he was in a suit. Why has this culture come to look down upon someone who is expressing their beliefs, not forcing their religion upon somebody, just informing people that religion is there and that there are these beliefs that some people follow?
Yeah, like, is it fair to trample on the people that they're Christian or they study Islam, or and they you know, go to church every Sunday, and they come home and they spend time with their kids and they take their kids to church, but they're not knocking on anyone else's doors. They're not forcing anyone else to believe what they believe. They're not telling anybody they're going to hell. Is it fair to trample on these people's constitutional rights just because other people don't agree with them?
An earlier caller's question was about beliefs versus experience. Are all experiences valid? Can we fool people into believing our experiences?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I have to, you know, you try to limit your conspiracy theories, but you have to think that anything that you believe is true, you know, maybe there's some government official that's decided they want to get religion out of our entire world, and so they're on, you know, their mission. Who knows what is a conspiracy theory, and who knows what's really true? Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I really think that the whole thing about religion is that it's something that people have within themselves, and whether the church... Are you guys hearing an echo from my phone?
No.
Okay, good. Anyway, religion is something that people have within themselves, and there may be a church outside there, but everybody's beliefs are their own, and they're somewhat different from what the, you know, the official doctrine is. But aside from that, they go to school, they go to work, they're surrounded in the world by other things, and if they have their faith, they have their faith. I really have a hard time with understanding why anything should shake their faith if that's what they believe, you know? I mean, maybe they have a revelation sometime that they don't believe exactly what they did when they were 12 or 13 or whatever, and they go on through life having some sort of spiritual evolution. So I have a really hard time with why people I don't understand why people have such a hard time with a scientific theory or whatever being taught, because it doesn't, you know, if somebody's belief is there, what does it have to do with their own belief?
Thank you, caller. Mm-hmm. I guess that is another side of the coin, is to say that if somebody's religious, you can tell them whatever you want to tell them, but they have their beliefs in, and that's what they believe in, so it doesn't matter, you know, what's being presented.
And I have heard the theory that science was simply created to test people's faith.
Right. I think overall it's reaching a final respect and understanding for what another person believes or what they don't believe. And so I think I would love to see a step forward in teaching comparative religion in our schools and teaching kids what's out there. Not that they have to believe it, but overall anything, even when we're teaching democracy in our schools or we're talking about different points of history, you know, we teach our kids that we won the Revolutionary War. Well, if you pick up a history book in Britain, it says that they quit. So pretty much I think it's very important to teach our kids that nothing really is fact, and they need to look at everything as a theory. And if they find enough proof, okay, maybe believe it as fact. But to try learn on their own, and that is the purpose of education, is that we're giving them what they need to learn on their own.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Jessica, and
Brianna.
Thanks to all of our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is grateful for support from HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of November, the 25th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.